The Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us to want Mashiach now. Now, obviously, this teaching of we want Mashiach now means that we want the entire world to enter a messianic reality, that we want Mashiach to come in the most literal sense, and for the world as a whole to be redeemed. But if in the now that we currently experience, Mashiach is not here, can there be a meaning to Mashiach now? So the Rebbe taught that each of us in our own lives can be in a state of Mashiach. We can be in a personally redeemed state, even if the world is not yet at a state of Mashiach. And one key towards living in this redeemed state is to be in the world and involved with the world, but not to be dragged down by the world. To engage with physicality, but not to be controlled by it. The Rebbe explores this theme in the context of Parshas Vayishlach in the first sicha in Likutei Sichas Chelek Aleph for Parshas Vayishlach. The Rebbe says, "Oifin pasuk im lovan garti." On the pasuk that Yaakov tells Esav that he sends a message to Esav that he had lived with Lavan, Zokt Rashi. Rashi interprets the tarjag mitzvahs shamarti, that Yaakov says that he lived with Lavan. And Rashi explains that Yaakov is also telling Esav that he observed the 630 mitzvahs. So the Rebbe asks, isn't it farshtandik in them? This is not understood. This is a questionable teaching for three reasons. Aleph, the Sheikhs from the Midrash, even Pasuk for Taryag, they say, Garti, Mitzvah Shomarti, Shom Pashat, Pshat, and Pasuk, Garti, Milshoin, Geirus. The Rebbe has an axiom which he develops later on in Likutei Sichas, that Rashi is coming to Teich to explain only Pshutei Shal Mikra, the simple meaning of the text. So what does this teaching of Taryag and Garti have to do with the simple meaning of the text? And the simple meaning of the text is simply that Yaakov had lived with Lavan. This idea that he fulfilled the 630 mitzvahs seems to be an added layer of exegesis. So in principle, it shouldn't have a place within Rashi's commentary if Rashi is only offering us the simple meaning of the text. The second question is, Vos is given a gea medias on Esav in a tag mitzvah shamarti. Why is it relevant for Yaakov to tell Esav that he observed the 630 mitzvahs? And third, Vos is the Torah von dem far uns. What's the lesson? What's the teaching that we can apply now based on Yaakov telling Esav that he observed the 630 mitzvahs? And this is based on the Rebbe's general principle that Torah is milashoin hayirah, that the word Torah means teaching, and that the narratives in the Torah are not merely historical narratives, but they're also meant to be actionable lessons for us to carry out in our daily lives now, whenever now is for us. So now the Rebbe goes on to address these questions. The perush from the Mlovan Garti, from Imlovan Garti, is the explanation of I lived with Lovan symbolically is that al inyanim from Lovan Harami, all the things which are relevant to Lovan the Aramean, that villain, al gashmis tikizachin, all physical things, such as shor, the chamor, tsoin, the eved, the shivcha, an ox, a donkey, sheep, servants, maidservants, zayin bayim given mernit vi garti, geirus, afrem dezach. Siznit zayin inyan. All these things, all these physical properties, these matters of the world, were for Yaakov not his primary concern. He related to them in a manner of geirus. A ger is a wanderer, a traveler, somebody who is not a citizen. Meaning to say that Yaakov was not preoccupied by his possessions, by matters of this world. Zayin heim is the neshama in the inyanim from Torah mitzvahs. Yaakov's home was his neshama. It was concentrating on his soul, on his consciousness, and on matters pertaining to Torah mitzvahs. When the alegash mistikazachin zainin mernit vigerus. And with respect to all the physical things of the world, Yaakov was just a visitor. Yaakov related to them in a transient, temporary fashion. This also explains the verse later on in the parsha where it says, it says that Yaakov built for himself a house. We learned this in Revi of Vayishlach, And for his cattle, he made sukkos. He made tents, temporary dwellings. Loi tzu'im, to him, for himself, does say tzu'zayn etzem, meaning to say, for his core self, his essence, nishama mitir and yanim, the nishama and its related elements, hota gibuit abayis, the iris keva. For this nishama, Yaakov built a house, a permanent dwelling. Ulimiknehu, but for his cattle. So the gashmis tekizachin, was a zainin, tzugikaifte. With respect to the physical things that he owned, which are considered purchased, meaning to say, things that you purchase are not things that are essential to yourself, but rather that they are added. And as the Rebbe goes on to explain, v'rum di neshama mitzad atzma, the neshama in its own right, ubefrat, and specifically neshama lamayla, the neshama as it is above. Darfes nithabin unachmer, the neshama only needs to have itself and nothing more. Ziyot nit ken shaykhs to them. The neshama doesn't need any physical things. Just when it comes down to this world, it manifests in this world, then it takes on physical property and physical things, but it doesn't need these physical things. These physical things are added onto it. So, for Yaakov's physical things, for the matters of this world, also sukkos, he makes temporary dwellings. So for himself, he has a bais, he has a permanent dwelling, but for his animals and for his property, he has a temporary dwelling. Chak muchad marat utzel in a sicha. The sixth rabbi, the Friedrich Rebbe of Lubavitch, once taught in a sicha. Avort from the Mezitcher Magid, a teaching of the Mezitcher Magid, vasarot gizokt, as in their heim, is andrish. In their heim, they're from taka al tzavim. At home, a person, in fact, needs to have everything. You need to have a nice house. You need to have all your possessions in the house. Aber in veg, however, when one is traveling, when one's on a journey, machnit ois is the nitazash in the area. It doesn't make a difference if one doesn't have such a nice place while they're traveling to live. Or in zaynit, zaynishin a mebel, and you don't need such nice furniture. Erizdach in veg, because you're traveling. So, in a similar fashion, we're saying that when you're in this world, when you're engaged in this world, you don't necessarily need to have the nicest things because you have the attitude of being a traveler. This world, in its own right, is not your essential home. And with this principle, now we can understand the connection between the simple meaning of the pasuk, which said in Malavan Garti that Yaakov lived with Lavan, and the drash, the rabbinic exposition, which says Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti, that Yaakov kept 613 mitzvahs. Mitzad them vasim love and garti vasdigash mistigazachin zaynabayim given bivchenas gerus. From the perspective of the fact that Yaakov was imelov and garti, from the fact that Yaakov related to this world in a manner of gerus, that Yaakov did not view this world as his primary dwelling. Durich them, through that perspective, hatigashmius nit mevaldo given. It became that the physical world did not disturb Yaakov to the ruchnius. It didn't disturb his spiritual quests. And that allowed him to carry out the 613 mitzvahs. Because of his perspective on living with Lavan, was not as an ezrach, was not as a citizen, but rather as a ger. He was just a visitor. Nochmer, furthermore, durich dem was divarim hagashmiim zaynin in an oifen von gerus, through one's relationship with physical things being in a manner of temporariness, is nit nor was the gashmiis shter nitzu the ruchnius. Not only is it the case that the physicality does not disturb spirituality, nor but moreover the ruchnius ver nimshach oich in gashmiis. Spirituality will also begin to manifest within physicality. Biz the gashmi is there to ruchnis and dusha, to the point that the physicality itself will become spirituality and holiness. The Efir Toysin pasuk, as it says later on in the pasuk, vayehi li shor vechamar. Yaakov says, I have acquired an ox, a donkey, tsuin, sheep, the eved v'shifcha, and male and female servants. Das alts is givorin li. All of these physical properties have come to me. They have become mine. Zum ikker v'etzem von Yaakovim. they've become one with the essence, the primacy of Yaakov. This means to say that Yaakov primarily lived in a world of spiritual concerns, but he also engaged with the physical world. But the point is that the physical world was not primary for Yaakov, and since the physical world was not primary for Yaakov, he was able to enter the physical world and engage in the physical world in such a way that his engagement with the physical world was uplifted, such that he uplifted the world he was in. In Medrash Eifin Pasuk, Vayihi Li Shor V'Chamor, Tzoyin V'Eved V'Shifcha, in the Medrash on this Pasuk, where Yaakov says, I have had an ox, a donkey, sheep, male and female servants, Zokter, the Medrash tells us that Chamor, that the word Chamor, that Yaakov says he has a donkey, Zeh Melech HaMashiach. This is a reference to the King Mashiach. And how do we know that a Chamor has to do with Mashiach? So it says in the Navi Zechariah, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes, Gili Mo'oid Bas Tzion, rejoice much, daughter of Tzion. Hari Bas Yushalayim, shout, daughter of Yushalayim. Hine Malkech Yavelach, behold, your king is coming to you. Tzadik V'Noishahu, a righteous man and a bearer of salvation is he. Oni V'Reichiv Al Chamor, he is a pauper and he is riding on a donkey. Val Ayir, and on a young donkey, on a foal, Ben Asinais, the son of a female donkey. So what does this mean? What's the meaning of Mashiach and a donkey, and what's the association between Mashiach and the donkey? Bias Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach, is abhengig von Aved Sabirur. As Tanya tells us, Mashiach comes as a result of our actions in this world, of engaging with the physicality and being mevarer, and clarifying, elevating, uplifting physicality, using physicality for the good. Thus haste, meaning to say, as durch dem, as yeder yid, vet mevar sein guf, and nefesh bahamis, un sein chelik in oilam, that through the process of every Jew uplifting and using positively both their animal impulses, their body, and their sphere of influence in this world, un oisnotzen ze in gedusha, and through using all those things for holiness, durch them, through that, but memamshich zayin de geluyim von la'asit, will we manage to manifest the revelations of the future. Meaning to say that Mashiach is not something that we wait around for Hashem to bring, but rather we engage in uplifting our own psyche, uplifting our own animal self, uplifting our bodies, engaging in our bodies with our bodies in a holy way, and uplifting the world around us. And that itself generates the coming of Mashiach. And now with this principle in hand, we can understand the symbolic reading of the continuation of the Psukim. Undos der Hemshech von die Psukim, im Loven Garti, by Hili Shor V'Chamor. Now we can understand the symbolic significance of Yaakov's saying that I live with Lavan and I've had a ox and a donkey. Durich ben was by Yaakov sein given die gashmistike Sachen. Bivichinas gerus, through this that Yaakov related to physicality in a sense of temporariness, meaning that Yaakov was not completely immersed in his physical pursuits, and he realized that the health of his spirit, that engagement in the spirit, an engagement in a higher purpose, was really what he was about. But of course, Yaakov did not abandon physicality, but rather, he made the physical things he engaged in vehicles for divinity. Garti kipshutai, vunin and zay, that in a literal sense, Yaakov lived in a physical world, engaged in a physical world, and uplifted that physical world. Durich dem is a shin given great to Mashiach. That made Yaakov already ready for Mashiach. Yaakov was living in a messianic reality, at least in his own right, if not in the world around him. And that's why he says, Vahili Chamor Ze Melech HaMashiach. He was saying, when he tells Esav, Vahili Chamor, I have a donkey, that he is living in a redeemed messianic state. Because as we saw from Zechariah, Chamor, the donkey, is a symbol for Mashiach. And that explains why Yaakov sends messengers to Esav. The Tzelenim, as they're showing Durch Yitan, Ala Beiruim. Un is great to Mashiachim, Rechen Beik, as Eich Esav is showing La'achar HaBeiruim. Un Eich Netzad Esavin can showing Kumen Di Geula. So when Yaakov sends messengers to Esav, he's telling Esav that I have already uplifted my place in the world. I am already living in a redeemed state. And when Yaakov sent this message, he reckons, he considers that Esav is probably also living in this redeemed state. Esav has also reached a place where he uplifts the world that he's in, and he's not under the influence of the world. But in response to this, the Malachim answer Yaakov. They say, we've given your invitation to Esav. We've given your invitation to join you in your messianic reality. But banu elachicha el Esav. We've come to your brother, to Esav. Von dein Zeit, from your perspective, shein achicha. Bishon great zu der gula. Esav is your brother. He's similar to you. He's already ready for redemption. Aber von sein Zeit is nach Esav. But Esav, from his own perspective, as Esav is still in Esav. Koidim habeiru. Esav has not yet clarified. He's not yet uplifted his physical self. Uvenele ken noch nit kumen de gula. As a result, the redemption cannot yet come. Because although it's the case that you are living in a redeemed reality, that redeemed reality is not spread to all people. It hasn't spread to Esav, and Esav is still the same old negative self. Torah and Yira Hiras is an epic. The Torah and its lessons are eternal. For yeder yidin in yeder tzeit in yeder ort. For every Jew, in every time and in every place. The Hiras from them alim is. The eternal lesson that we can learn from this symbolic narrative between Yaakov and Esav is, Yeder Yidar Visin, every Jew should know, as a filu oib mitzader dem arum, that even if it's the case that relative to their surroundings, mitzader velt, relative to the world, is nachnet roi, as zolshen kumen de gula, that the world itself, the world around you, is not in a state of redemptiveness. Vrum di velt is nachnet mavur, because the world around you has not yet been refined. Aber von sein Zeit, darf zugreden sich mit all seinen Yonim, Zoin ve'eved ve'shifcha zu der Geula Shashlema. But even though it's the case that the world around you is not redeemed, you have a responsibility to make yourself, to make your own person, and those things in your sphere of influence, to make those things a redeemed reality. Und die Achana zu dem is im Loven Garti. And the way to make this preparation is by having the attitude of, I have sojourned with Lavan. I have been a temporary dweller by Lavan. I'm just a visitor by Lavan. And I've visited, as Gantz Olam Haze is Mernit Vigarti Geir Anoichi Ba'aretz. A person should have the perspective that their entire time in this world is only a temporary stay. As David tells us in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Yotes, I am a stranger. I am a wanderer in the land. The Gansi Yemeshim Yisena Behem Shivim Shana V'Migvurish Menim Shana. Over our entire lifetime, which David the Melech tells in Tehillim, is usually 70 years. If we're strong, maybe 80 years. Or as we learn in Bereishis Perek Vav, that the upper limit of man's lifespan is V'Hayu Yamav Meyav Esrim Shana. Hashem caps the human lifespan at 120 years, Zainin Mernit Vi Garti. Throughout our entire life, we should have the perspective that we're just temporarily here. We're just visiting. Undemol, that if we have that perspective, is the Gashmis Nitkinstiris Ruchnis. Then physicality will not contradict, it won't oppose spirituality. Undurich them, and through that, Hotter Shor Vechamar Tzainvem Veshivcha Oich in Gashmis. That will allow you to have all sorts of physical things, and A, you'll have physical things because you'll be in a place where you're not overwhelmed by physicality. You'll be in a psychologically more healthy place. And when you have these things, you won't be consumed by them, but rather you'll be able to use them judiciously and responsibly. Und durch dem was ergreit zu sich mit seinen Inyonen zu der Gula. And through you preparing yourself and having the right attitude and perspective and uplifting things around you and making them ready for the redemption, your behavior within your own life also impacts the world at large. And that's because, as the Gemara in Kiddushin of Mem Beis tells us, and we see also in the Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva Perek Zayin, that we should always view the world as if the world's in a state of 50-50. The Rambam says, Mechtzal Mechtza Avoynis, Mechtzal Mechtza Zuchuyis. That 50% is on the side of negativity, and 50% is on the side of positivity, and your action can tip the scale. Your action can make a difference. B'meiliz mit ein guter pula, v'et mechriyaz ein diganza velt. With one good deed, you can tip the scales and bring in the geula in their ganze welt, and thereby bring the redemption not only in your own life but in the entire world. When we the Rambam paskint, and like the Rambam tells in Echos Teshuva, Yisrael she'isin tshuva miyad nigalim. If the Jewish people do tshuva as a whole, if they all return to Hashem, then immediately they are redeemed. When the Alter Rebbe is Moisif, and the Alter Rebbe adds, in the fourth section of Tanya, tekef umiyad, that they're redeemed, but not just negolin, they're negolin tekef umiyad immediately, right away. B'meila is nitkokin tekef in matzav and velt. So therefore, we shouldn't look at how bleak things seem to be in the world. Through tshuva, through returning to Hashem, through entering a place of the correct perspective, a person can be, at least in their own mind, in their own space, in a redeemed space. In their ganzer welt. And not only will they achieve this for themselves, but it's also possible that they could generate this in the entire world. They could generate this redeemed state for the entire world. Everything that happens, the Rebbe tells us, this is basically a soy from the Baal Shem Tov, happens providentially. Nothing happens by accident. The Geula from Alter Rebbe and Chassidus, the redemption of the Alter Rebbe and Chassidus, Yud Tes Kislev, Tav Kuf Nun Tes, which takes place on the 19th day of Kislev in the year 1798, is given in their Vach Vasnach Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach. That occurred in the week after we read Parshas Vayishlach. In Velecher Zainim, the Oibid Matahir Reis. And in Parshas Vayishlach, we learn these aforementioned lessons. That Yaakov is telling Esav, Vayhi Lishor Vechamor, I am already in a state of redemption. And through my state of redemption, it's possible to redeem the entire world. The idea being that Chassidus and Tanya and the redemption of the Alter Rebbe from prison is connected with redemption in general, because Chassidus gives us a Torah, it gives us a perspective which allows us to enter a personally redeemed state and to bring that redemption to others. Chassidus get jeden Yidin dem koyach, lifnit rechen in sich mit dem matzav und welt. By learning Chassidus, by entering a Hasidic perspective, by engaging in Hasidic practice, a Jew is empowered not to be held down by the situation of the world. And durchtan by sich the avoid the full name love and garti, and to accomplish by them by oneself the work of inculcating the perspective of only being in this world in a state of temporariness, in a state of sojourning, not being held down by the world. Uvemela, and through this perspective that Chassidus allows to enter, to inculcate, you enter a state of sukum tzum vayhili chamor ze melech hamashiach. You enter a personally redeemed state of the donkey, which is a symbol for the King Mashiach. Chassidus is a achana unakli tzum gilei hamashiach. Chassidus is both a preparation and a tool which allows us to manifest Mashiach. As durich yafutzu ma'nesecha chutza, as Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov, through the spreadings of the Hasidic wellsprings outward, asimar, Mashiach will come, the Master will come, b'mehira, the yameinu, speedily in our days. Let's summarize this sicha. The Lubavitch Rebbe taught us to want Mashiach now. Mashiach now, though, is not only a slogan which refers to bringing the Mashiach in all of reality, Mashiach in the entire world, but Mashiach now also means that we need to manifest Mashiach in our own lives. What does this mean? So at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, we learn that Yaakov sends a message to Esav. And he tells him, Im Lavan Garti. I live with Lavan. And Rashi explains, what does it mean, Im Lavan Garti? Taryag mitzvah shemarti, I fulfilled 613 mitzvahs. So Rebbe asks three questions. Number one, what's the connection between this expansion of Chazal, saying that Garti means Taryag, means 613, to the simple meaning of the Pasuk? Number two, why should Esav care about the fact that Yaakov kept 613 mitzvahs? And number three, what's the eternal lesson that we can learn from this? The Rebbe teaches, Im Lavan Garti means that I lived with Lavan with a sense of gerus. A ger is a convert, a ger is an immigrant, a ger is somebody who lacks a feeling of permanence. So meaning to say, that relative to all the things of Lavan's world, all the things of this world, of physicality, all the political things, the financial things, I lived in a state of temporariness. I was not completely immersed in this physical world. I realized that I'm a person who has a higher purpose, and I didn't allow myself to completely sink into the world of the mundane and into the world of physicality. And that allows a person to be in a state of taryag mitzvah shenarti. When a person is consumed by the things that go on in this world, by the challenges, the worries, the anxieties, the fears, the disputes of this world, then it's much harder to engage in a higher purpose. It's much harder to be focused on uplifting the world. If, however, a person has somewhat of a sense of detachment relative to things in this world, then it's much easier to engage in the 613 mitzvahs. And that explains, says the Rebbe, why it is that Yaakov continues to tell Esav, Vayehi li chamor. I've had a donkey. I own a donkey. So the Medrash in Beis Shabbat tells us, chamor ze melech HaMashiach. The chamor, the donkey, is a symbol for King Mashiach. And how do we know this? Because the Pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes tells us, Gili me'oid bas Tzion, rejoice very much, daughter of Tzion. Hari bas Yushalayim, shout, daughter of Yushalayim. Hine malkich yavelach, behold, your king is coming to you. Tzadik v'noishahu, he is righteous and a person of salvation. Oni v'rechev al chamor, he's a pauper riding on a donkey, val ayir ben asoynes, and on a young donkey, the son of a female donkey. So we see that the word chamor, that donkey, is a symbol for Mashiach. And the idea here being that Yaakov, through his perspective of im lavan garti, of living in a state of temporariness, not being sunken into things of the world, Yaakov was able to uplift, to clarify the world. He was able to engage the world and not be dragged down by the world, but rather make his world a more illuminated, uplifted place. And that's why, relative to Yaakov's reality, Yaakov was living in an already redeemed reality. So Yaakov, when he tells Esav, Vayehi li chamor, Yaakov is inviting Esav to join him and create a messianic world, to join him in creating a redeemed world where all of humanity will be redeemed, all of humanity will rise above war, pettiness, and mundanity. But the Malachim returned to Yaakov saying, Banu el achicha al Esav, v'gamu hoylich likrascha, v'arba meis ish imoy, that we've come to your brother. From your perspective, he's your brother. But from his perspective, he's still Esav. From Esav's perspective, Esav has not yet entered an uplifted reality. So what's the lesson for all of us who are not living in Yaakov and Esav's time, but are living many years later? The lesson is that we all need to have a perspective like Yaakov. We should try to be in this world in a manner of gerus, as wanderers, as sojourners. Realize that this world has a certain sense of impermanence to it. And if we have a perspective of impermanence relative to the world, then we will not be drawn down by the world, but rather we'll be able to uplift the world. Much like the famous story of the Mizrach Magid, who taught that in this world it's not necessary to have such a nice house and such nice furniture, because in this world, we're only on a temporary journey. This is not our permanent home. So if we have this perspective of temporariness, then we can already enter a place where we uplift the world and we ourselves are living in a redeemed reality. But then we can't suffice with living a redeemed reality on our own. We have to invite the rest of the world along with us. It's possible that we will be successful, and it's possible that we won't. But we at least have to be hopeful and believe in the possibility that our actions could transform the world. The Rebbe closes the Sicha by calling our attention to the fact that Yutes Kislev, the day that the Alter Rebbe was freed from Russian prison in 1798, fell out right after Parshas Vayishlach. And that's not a coincidence, the Rebbe tells us. But rather, since Parshas Vayishlach tells us this idea of personal redemption, it tells us that by inculcating certain perspectives, we can enter a redeemed state and share that perspective with the world. That message is integrally related to Yutes Kislev, because the whole purpose of the Alter Rebbe's Chassidus, the whole purpose of Chassidus Chabad, is to offer us a perspective wherein we enter a state of personal redemption and then share that perspective with others.